We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The following program has been pre-recorded. Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham. One of the most important and crucial nonprofits during this pandemic has been the Oregon Food Bank, and this time I'd like to check in with them again and find out how things are going. On the show this time, I would like to welcome Matt Newell Ching, Public Policy Manager at the Oregon Food Bank. Hey there, Matt.
Hey, Gary. Thanks so much for having me.
So, gosh, you guys, the last 15 months, well, last, gosh, years and years and years, but especially during the last 15 months of our pandemic, the Oregon Food Bank has been such a vital thing to have in our community. How are things going at the Oregon Food Bank?
You know, we're beginning to see a light at the end of the tunnel, and yet, at the same time, hunger remains an incredible challenge in our communities. So, our network of 21 regional food banks and 1,400 food assistance sites worked with a record 1.6 million community members over the past year. And that's almost double than what we were seeing pre-pandemic. I can say that we are beginning to see the number of people requesting food come down a little bit, which is great news. And at the same time, you know, as we move through the pandemic, we know that certain types of federal aid are going to start to expire. And so we're making sure we're working hard as we can to make sure that when people need food from our agencies, that they are able to access it. Just to give you some perspective and to level set, prior to the pandemic, one in 11 Oregonians were experiencing food insecurity. And that's the lowest rate that we had seen since the Great Recession. But in 2020, one in four Oregonians experienced food insecurity and faced challenges accessing food. So that nearly doubled during the pandemic. So while we're crawling back and while we do see this light at the end of the tunnel, far too many Oregonians are still struggling right now. And we need every Oregonian to recognize that we're all better off when we stand together and when we do good by our neighbors, and that includes contributing to your local food pantry in any way that you can, acts of kindness, and also speaking up for our neighbors who are in need.
How quickly do you think things will turn around for people who are experiencing food insecurity? Is it going to take years, months?
You know, what we're seeing right now is that since last year, the unemployment rate in Oregon has come down. Yet it's still not where we were pre-recession, and we know that it's going to take a long time for us to get back to where we were prior to the pandemic. It's encouraging that we are seeing businesses start to reopen, and more people, as people get vaccinated, we can do more things out there. The reality is that I think we're going to be in a situation where not everyone is back to full capacity. It's not going to be an overnight situation. Not everything is just all of a sudden going to be, back to, air quotes, normal. But the other thing I would just like to say is that it's not enough. We believe it's not enough to just get back to normal. Normal wasn't working for too many people. And, the people who were disproportionately harmed during the pandemic, if you look at the places where jobs were being lost, it hit sectors like, you know, restaurants and entertainment and tourism, you know, extremely hard. And I've got a friend who used to work concessions at the Moda Center part-time. And so those jobs are going to be the slowest ones to come back. And those are also the jobs that tend to be, you know, jobs that are on a lower wage. Those also tend to be jobs that, you know, tend to be lower wage, you know, jobs, and that will be the slowest to come back. Those also tend to be jobs, you know, there's been so many conversations in the last year about the need for racial justice. And we know that people of color in our communities are, you know, disproportionately hold low wage jobs. And those often are jobs that are the slowest to come back. So while we're making progress, we know we've still got a long road ahead. And that means that we need to continue to stand by and with one another as we move through various stages of the pandemic.
We're talking today with Matt Newell-Ching, Public Policy Manager at the Oregon Food Bank. Now, a minute ago, you said that things were kind of starting to get back to normal. You can see a light at the end of the tunnel. But what was perfect or what was working before the pandemic really wasn't working all that well. So what is the Oregon Food Bank doing to meet the increased demand today and to end hunger for good? That's the main goal. You want to be out of a job.
That's exactly right. We would love to work ourselves out of a job. So in addition to our day-to-day work of distributing food throughout Oregon and Southwest Washington, we also advocate to address the root causes of hunger. And I'm part of our team that does advocacy and organizing and volunteering. And so part of my job is tracking what's happening in Oregon's legislative session. And we're supporting a number of proposals that we know can and will put Oregonians back on track while addressing some of these systemic inequities. So right now, we're in the last 5 weeks of Oregon's legislative session. And so now we believe is a great time to make our voices heard. So what we want to make sure is that we support proposals that address the need for affordable housing, that address racial inequities, that address the need for childcare. So many people are struggling to find not only work, but the challenge of making sure that our kids have safe places to be while we're at work. Because, you know, while schools in many cases have reopened, sometimes, like our kids, for example, they're in school for 2.5 hours a day. And, you know, let me tell you, having them in school for 2.5 hours a day is a lot better than having them, you know, home all day. It's good for them. It's good for us. But it also presents a pretty significant challenge for parents who are working parents at home and where we don't have options to, you know, make sure that our kids are places where they need to be, where, you know, we're at work. And so we need to rebuild, you know, all these sectors of our economy so that when we get through this pandemic, that we're not just surviving, but we're thriving.
So you said the Oregon legislature has about, did you say 6 weeks to go? Or they're wrapping up very soon anyway. The Oregon legislature is wrapping up very soon. So what are you hoping to get to them before they do wrap things up this year?
That's a great question. Yeah. So in these last 5 weeks of the legislature, we can talk about a few things. You know, one is the need for affordable housing. You know, prior to the pandemic, housing was unaffordable for, you know, too many people. And with the unemployment rate going up last year, a lot of Oregonians are worried about making rent, about, you know, making sure that they're able to pay for, you know, for life's basics. And so we want to make sure that this public health crisis doesn't also exacerbate and make worse our housing crisis, because we, you know, prior to the pandemic, you know, too many of our neighbors were experiencing, not only just experiencing homelessness, which I think is maybe the most visible way that we see our housing crisis, but so many families are struggling to pay, you know, rent month to month. And so we want to see some measures that help support Oregonians to make sure that this pandemic doesn't mean that we lose roofs over our heads. If I can talk a little bit about, you know, childcare, because I think this is one thing we've seen, you know, as people have lost work, we need to ask ourselves, you know, what's going to make it possible for Oregonians to return to work. And we've seen particularly the numbers of women who have left the workforce, women and parents, you know, some, you know, dads as well, but so many moms have had to make the, you know, impossible choices about do we care for kids or, you know, do we, you know, go back to work? And so We know that childcare is the work that makes so many parts of work possible, right? You know, childcare and school. But many childcare providers, you know, these are also, you know, mom and pop, you know, so many childcare providers run out of their homes. But when the pandemic hit, many childcare providers closed down because of public health concerns. You know, especially if you remember the beginning of the pandemic, you know, we weren't sure, like, as you know, what was happening, and particularly we weren't sure about, you know, what the impact on kids would be. And so we think it's critical that the legislature address the urgent need to rebuild our childcare infrastructure so that parents are able to go to work and that kids are able to have a safe place to be while parents are at work. You know, another thing that we're looking at is, you know, because we're Oregon Food Bank, you know, we're particularly focused on food. And so a couple of things that we're working on. One is we would love to strengthen what's called the Double Up Food Bucks program. And I love this program because, you know, if you've ever been to a farmer's market, maybe you see a sign that says, if you receive SNAP, you're able to double your purchases. And so it's currently operating in a lot of farmers markets across Oregon. So how it works is if you are on SNAP, you swipe your card and it can turn $10 worth of SNAP or food stamps into $20 worth of tokens at the farmers market. And that really helps, you know, not only bring access to fresh fruits and vegetables for people who are on very limited budgets, but it also really builds a sense of community and participation because, you know, when you're out, you know, at a farmer's market, it's more than just, you know, where your next meal is coming from. It's connecting your family and your kids to the farmers and to the food that you're eating. And so we want to see that program expanded to make sure that more Oregonians have access to healthy fruits and vegetables.
That seems really important. Yeah. That's a great program right there, and especially since we're coming into this season where farmers markets are just all over the place. And what a great way to support your local farmer and to teach your children nutrition and to have good nutrition for the whole family. That's a great program.
That's absolutely right. It's a win-win. You help support local farmers, you help build community, and you put nutritious food in the bellies of people who don't always have access to fresh fruits and vegetables. Because the reality is that, you know, if you're trying to stretch a limited food budget, you know, sometimes you have to make strategic trade-offs in, you know, the quality of food versus the quantity of food. And I think the reality is that, you know, a lot of times less nutritious food is cheaper. And so you can understand why people make the rational choice to purchase foods that, you know, will fill you up. But, you know, that, but when you see at the market, you know, tomatoes or kale or, you know, whatever the vegetables are that cost more, that can be a barrier. And so we want to shorten the distance between people and the food that makes us healthy.
Are the farmers on board with all that too? How do they feel about that?
Oh yeah. It's the farmers, you know, love this program. You know, if you go to, you know, a farmer's market, I mean, I can tell you, farmers live and breathe it's not just a job, right? It's a vocation. Yeah. It's, it brings so much meaning, to the farmers that we talk to be, you know, connected, to the land and to the people, who are eating the food. It's so much more gratifying when, for farmers that we've spoken to, you know, when they get to meet the people that are, you know, are going to be eating the food and making those connections. Now obviously selling the food to, you know, to a processing plant down the street is also, you know, necessary and part of our food system that we need. But nothing beats that person to person connection. And it brings a lot of, you know, gratification, both to the farmer and the consumer.
I love going to the farmer's market. I live near the Hollywood farmer's market, and gosh, every Saturday, I just love going there. It's so great.
Yeah. It's so vibrant. It's just a great community experience.
Could you talk about a little bit about how the Oregon Food Bank works? It's a whole system it's not just one spot. It's a whole system statewide.
That's right. Yeah. So if you're ever driving, past the, you know, on Northeast 33rd, like kind of near between Columbia and Marine Drive, that's where our big warehouse is located. If you've never been inside, I mean, if you've been into a big, you know, warehouse like a Costco or a Sam's Club, there are things that resemble, you know, that where we've got big pallets of food that are stored, and you'll see, you know, trucks of, you know, Oregon Food Bank trucks that are shipping food out. Because food comes from a variety of sources. We obviously work with a lot of food producers, you know, out across the state. The federal government provides, quite a bit of supply for our, you know, emergency food. But we have a network, the Oregon Food Bank Network composes 21 regional food banks in Oregon and Southwest Washington. So we're almost like a distribution point for food for, for those regional food banks. And those 21 food banks in turn serve 1,400 food assistance sites out across Oregon. And, you know, and last year, those 1,400 food assistance sites served 1.6 million members of our communities. So it's quite an operation. And so we're very grateful to be doing the work that we're doing. The other thing I would just say to your listeners is that if you need food and if anyone you know needs food, food is available, and you can visit our website. If you just Google Oregon Food Bank Food Finder, you can find a local agency that's nearby you. It's totally confidential. I mean, you just go in and put in your address, and you can find when food is available and where food is available for you to pick up. Even as we've seen the amount of people increasing who requesting food, we're so grateful to our community and, at so many levels of people stepping up that we have been able to serve, and make sure that everyone, does have food, even during these challenging times. So it's a great responsibility, but we're also extremely grateful for the ability to do that.
We've seen reports on the news. We've seen reports on the news a few months ago about some other states where people were really lined up and kind of waiting hours in lines to get food from their local food bank. But the Oregon Food Bank is one of the most successful in the country. And you guys need to be commended for that. They're doing fantastic work.
Yeah, and, during COVID, we all had to shift our models, quite a bit because, the reality for a lot of emergency food sites is that, so oftentimes they will be housed or co-located in churches or schools. And the actual, pantry shelves themselves can be fairly small. And you don't have, access to, ventilation and all the things that you would need to make sure that that's safe during COVID. And so many of our agencies did just overnight switch to, models where, cars would drive through. I am happy to say that, we did not see these miles long lines. We did see increased, numbers of food, but I think, our agencies just did remarkable work in adapting to what was needed. And, so many people in the community stepped up to make sure that those lines ran smoothly. And also, it's important, not only just to, to make sure that the lines move, quickly, but, it's hard to ask for food. I just want to, name that. I mean, part of the reason why I do this work is that, my parents, when they hit hard times, my dad was in school, my mom was working and was the primary breadwinner of the family through that period. And when she got in a car accident, she couldn't work. And, it meant that was, their turn to ask for help. And, the reality is that, half of Americans are going to live in a household that asks for food assistance at some point in their lives. I was always brought up to recognize that, look, we're all better off when we recognize that we're in this together. And so, so many of us are just one or two paychecks away from, needing to ask for help. And so it's okay to ask for help. Asking for help is an act of courage. And also, when you're able to pay it forward and to be part of the solution, we've seen so many people, step up. It's that old Mr. Rogers adage, look for the helpers, amid every crisis. Yes, we can see things that are, ugly on TV. We can see, images that make us lose faith in humanity. But look for those helpers. And we're very grateful that people have stepped up, in our communities. And I think that also extends to, advocating and raising your voice. And so, part of what I love about my job is that, it's in addition to that direct service work is that we get to ask, people who are decision makers, to make sure that we are stepping up as well to support members of our communities.
How can our listeners help out the Oregon Food Bank? There's plenty of work to do.
Yeah, there's so many ways that you can get involved. And just first say, please feel free to visit OregonFoodBank.org. There's a many ways to get involved. the work that that my role is focused on, since we are do have 5 weeks left in the legislature, if you go to OregonFoodBank.org/advocate, there are lots of different ways that you can. We created some pages where you can email your legislature to say, you know, please stand up for Oregonians who are experiencing food insecurity, housing insecurity. Please help rebuild our child care sector. Please support people who are college students who are, working hard to get through, you know, college and making sure that they've got the resources that they need. You know, many of our community members, you know, while, unemployment and, you know, we've had various forms of aid going out to people, but many of our community members are excluded from certain types of aid. And so we want to make sure that, Oregonians who didn't receive some of those, those benefits are able to do so. So you can raise your voice that way. If you're interested in giving food directly, so one of the things that has been a challenge during the pandemic is that the Oregon Food Bank warehouse has been unable to accept direct donations from people. But I will say you can feel free to contact your local food pantry or food agency, and you can do that by going to the Oregon Food Bank Food Finder site. If you just Google Oregon Food Bank Food Finder, you can check out your local food pantry and ask how you can get involved in helping your neighbors where you live.
Monetary donations are always welcome, right? There's a big donate button on the Oregon Food Bank website, OregonFoodBank.org. You can always donate money. Tell me about if people do donate money, how far that money goes.
That's absolutely right. The money can go extremely far to support all types of work. I'll say that we've got great relationships with many of the food producers throughout the state, and so your donation actually goes a little bit further than if you were to just give a can of food. We absolutely encourage any way to donate, whether that's direct food, but we are usually able to take that donation and leverage food donations from leverage food purchases directly from food producers, and it also supports our work to advocate and to make sure that that our public structures are connecting people with food as well. One of the things about our work is that we are making sure that programs like school meals have been able to continue throughout the pandemic, and that programs like SNAP or food stamps are reaching people, because we know that if people face barriers to those programs, then that increases the number of people who are requesting food from the Oregon Food Bank. That increases the number of people who are requesting food from our partner agencies. So we really believe in an all of the above strategy, and donations help leverage all aspects of our work to make sure that Oregonians have enough to eat.
Are there any volunteer opportunities available? I know the pandemic and COVID has probably put the kibosh on a lot of volunteering, but are there volunteer opportunities, and when do you expect that to come back?
There are definitely volunteer opportunities, and if you go to our website, OregonFoodBank.org, you can select the volunteer tab and click through there, and what we'll have you do is fill out a form, or you can call up our office directly and ask to talk to a volunteer coordinator. We also may refer you to a local agency, so it may or may not be coming in to put bags of food, potatoes in bags of food, or it may look like helping a food pantry down the street, load food into boxes, or there are any numbers of ways that you can get involved. We also encourage folks, again, with 5 weeks left in the legislature, if you visit OregonFoodBank.org/advocate, you don't even have to leave your house. You can just, with a few clicks of a button, read up on the issues that we're working on, whether it's double up food bucks or whether it's connecting people to housing or child care. You can send an email to your legislator, and that helps make sure that legislators know that these are priorities for our communities. I think the reality is that when somebody, for Oregonians that are experiencing hunger and food insecurity, every single Oregonian in that situation has a unique story and has reasons why they're in a tough situation. And it may have to do with high housing costs. It may have to do with the lack of child care. It may be because they're caring for a loved one and it's not safe for them to go back to work just yet. And so, making sure that anyone who's in that situation has the support, and that can come from people volunteering directly in our communities, and that can also come from making sure that the structures that that we have in our society are strong and are resilient, especially in times like these.
Well, the Oregon Food Bank always has and always will continue to do such amazing things. Thank you for all the work that you do.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, Gary. Thanks so much for having us. And thanks from the bottom of our hearts for your support. I know that you've, had us on here, but just telling the story and making sure that Oregonians understand that this is a problem and that we need to continue to pay attention and try to solve this problem together. I think the more that people are aware, the more that we have this collective feeling that we need to do something. And so you've played a tremendous role in raising awareness. And so for that, we are deeply grateful.
Yeah, anything we can do here at the radio station, we are always willing to help out the Oregon Food Bank. So thank you. We've been talking today with Matt Newell-Ching, Public Policy Manager at the Oregon Food Bank. Matt, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Gary. Take care.
If you'd like to hear this interview again, just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.